Amazon 5-star Theater presents Real Customer Reviews, performed by Ed Helms. Tonight's review, Tactical Jacket. I was living a simple life. Didn't get out much. Then, I bought this jacket, and everything changed. Women came flocking to me from lands domestic and foreign. On the 245-day sailboat voyage home, I was attacked by a shark. I knew it was the jacket he was after. Giving up the jacket in exchange for my life. 5 stars. Amazon customer 69. Shop the perfect gift this holiday on Amazon.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple or Google Play Stores.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
The Luigi Mangione hearings that started last week continue this week to determine whether prosecutors have a case against him. For the first time, we saw body cam footage, or at least images of the body cam footage from inside the Altoona McDonald's. Officers approaching Mangione at a back table. The moment he pulls down his mask, the fake ID, the backup flooding in with Christmas music playing. We heard about the 911 call from the manager. We saw photos of what was in the backpack, the ghost gun, the silencer, the manifesto, the cash. The defense wants all of it thrown out. If they succeed, prosecutors lose the weapon, the writings, the motive, and everything Mangione said to police and corrections officers. They'll be left trying to prove the assassination with surveillance footage and some fingerprints on a water bottle. If all that gets thrown out. Will all that get thrown out? Well, that's the big question. Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, is with us. She has been tracking this case from the very beginning. She knows what's in the evidence pile. She's been watching the footage. She understands what's on the line as Judge Caro decides what stays and what goes. So let's just begin with what we've been learning this last week and what's going to be going in to this week. We finally saw the body cam footage, or at least images from the body cam footage and the latest stills. Walk me through what stood out to you with all this. What did Mangiani's behavior in that McDonald's with the officers and the patrons that were rather alarmed tell you about where his head was at?
Well, I really believe that Luigi, of course, did not want to be found in any way, shape, or form. That's why he presented that fake ID. That's why, according to the officer, his hands were literally shaking. He was in all masked up at a time when nobody was masking really much at that time at all, certainly not in Altoona, Pennsylvania, and hooded up too. Really, all you could see that was the giveaway were those eyebrows.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody, Thank Brian Koberger. So again, I think he was terrified and really surprised he was found.
What about the fact that he went for 5 days here around the country? He, you know, he was connected. He had family. He had a lot of friends. He had, you know, he wasn't just like some weird loner out there by himself. Now, there had been, you know, some issues with family here and there, but the fact that for 5 days the country knew who they were looking for, it was pretty clear who this guy was. We didn't necessarily know his name yet by any means, but what does it say to you about those 5 days and ending up being found at a McDonald's back in the corner?
Well, I think he definitely had somewhat of a very good exit plan for getting out of New York, obviously, mm-hmm. because he got out of New York. But from there, it seemed like his plan really straggled. He wasn't sure exactly where he was going or what he was doing. But I think he did a nice job staying below the radar, right? Staying in small towns where even after the call comes in that they think they have Luigi Mangione, they say specifically the CEO or the New York assassin, that nobody believes it. And they start hem-hawing and cracking up and making bets about Subways or sandwiches, sorry.
Yeah. Subways and sub sandwich. Yeah, no, you'll get you a hoagie if it's actually him. That was interesting that they didn't really believe it was going to be the guy. I bet there would be a lot of stories around the country from a lot of people, a lot of officers at that moment in time responding to suspected calls of we mm-hmm. think this might be Luigi Mangione, especially in that part of the country, too. I mean, you have a heavy Italian population just outside of New York in that area. Folks who may resemble Luigi Mangione, it would be probably fairly common to have that call to, but to actually be there and go, oh, God, you know, this is the guy. I mean, the basically what he said is when he pulled down the mask, he knew it was the man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. I mean, he has a very unique face and look, actually, even though, quite frankly, I've seen on social media, there's another kid that looks almost exactly like him. He's got a lot of doppelgangers or, you know, very close lookalikes out there. But certainly that police officer was convinced it was him the minute that mask came down.
I'm really surprised that he didn't go get those brows waxed. I mean, he's walking around looking like Eugene Levy, and everybody's going to recognize him, I would think. But, you know, he really didn't do anything to change his appearance.
No, not too much. I think he thought that just being in the hood, meaning not in the hood, but in a hood, mm-hmm. Disguise him enough, that and the mask. The problem was this is no longer the era or time of COVID. And that's... Yeah. Really hurt him. I think if it would have been the time of COVID, it might have been much longer before he was ever discovered. But you can see this was his MO from the beginning. I'm glad you put up these photos because these were the initial photos of him seen on surveillance cameras at various stores. And you can see it's almost the same minus the mask.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You know, he did, like Stacey just said, he didn't do a whole lot to change his appearance. You know, this is someone who obviously thinks his opinions matter a hell of a lot more than others, who thinks that, you know, he's this justice warrior that he's out there doing this. And if you look at his social media prior to this, he's He's a narcissist. He's one who is very obsessed with his looks. He presents a very specific look, a very specific look at me. Look how pretty I am. How much do you think that ego played into him not changing his look, where he's just too pretty? He doesn't want to alter how good he looks if, you know, that's in lieu of him getting caught. I wonder how much the vanity angle of this prevented him from doing what almost anyone else, I think, in this situation would do and dramatically change the way you look so you don't get caught. That didn't seem to be an option that registered for him.
Exactly. You got $7,000 in your pocket. How about buy a blue jacket? How about shave your head? How about shave your face? Trim up those eyebrows. Just get a totally different appearance as best you can. Even dye your hair, something. You know, pull a Scott Peterson, but he did nothing. Right. And he certainly had the means. And with all of these people, I always say this, this isn't about the crime. This isn't about their cause. At the end of the day, it's about them and bringing themselves up to this level of, look at me. I'm some sort of hero. I'm some sort of martyr. But isn't the irony great right now? This is the irony. He's so flipping rich from such a rich family, and he's got money pouring in. He's got the best attorneys money can buy. He's going to spend millions on these cases. And you know what? He isn't about the little people, the people who can't get health care. If he would have done this, if he would have said, I'm not taking any donations, I'm not taking my mom's wealth, I'm getting a federal public defender, I don't want any more money, I would have had more respect for than what he's doing, which is living the life he's always lived. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
How about instead of killing the CEO, maybe donating some of that money to help people get the health care they need? I mean, he took it so far in one direction. Instead of doing good with the power that he had, he just decided to shoot some guy who, you know, I mean, as tragic as it is, he's just a cog in the wheel. The wheel continues on. He didn't do anything. He didn't change the world.
No, but he got a lot of attention to himself.
That's right. And Stacey, at the end of the day, that's what he really cared about. Yep. There is no way he was a disaster after his Ivy League education, right? Mm-hmm. He couldn't stay in the workforce. Instead, he decided to just use his parents' money to travel throughout the world and live it up. I mean, that's what he really did. He had that job. It didn't work out. This was a guy that wasn't willing to put in the work necessary.
Yeah.
Himself maybe become a CEO and manage a healthcare company, right?
He could. He had
all the bona fides.
Yeah. Like if you really want to change something, then get in there and change something. This is not the way to change something. A lot of criticism here about the Altoona PD and how they handled finding the most wanted man in America at that time eating a hash brown in the corner. What's your thoughts on how all of that went down from the talking for 20 minutes before any sort of Miranda rights or Mirandas are given? Give me your thoughts on how all that played out, because there's a lot of talk about that right now.
Yeah. So let's first just talk about Miranda. A lot of people think they literally think of Law and Crime or these other, you know, television shows. We don't come in typically and go, FBI, you're under arrest. You have the right to remain silent. That is so movies. Why?
Yeah.
Because typically what invokes Miranda are two things. It's a two-pronged test. One, are they in custody or can they leave? Is it just a temporary detention? Number two, are you questioning them? I think people often mix up spontaneous utterances made by an individual when they're in custody and questioning an individual. Obviously, when they first went up to him, they didn't even know if it was going to be him, and in fact, didn't think it was going to be him. So they needed to ask for identification. They needed to ask a lot of those general questions. Now, we know that the more seasoned officer right? There were two officers. The initial officer was a 6-month, I think, trainee, and the other one was more seasoned. And he said he knew that once he took the mask down, it was him. So at that point, in my view, as police officer, I know there's no way in hell I'm letting him go. Mm-hmm. So he's under arrest, or he's going to be under arrest. So I know at that point, I really can't ask questions. And I don't want to ask questions. I want the detectives who are trained to ask questions, not the patrol guy. I want that to happen in a controlled environment. And that's where normally you Mirandize for the first time. You get them to sign a piece of paper and everything else.
Mangione gave a fake ID at first, and then they said, hey, you know, there's like real consequences for giving a fake ID. Right. And then he just immediately pushes back. He doesn't go, well, that's me. He's like, you're right. My real name is this. Like, not even much pushing at all. Just pretty much like, hey, we caught you in an act, not saying that you're this guy or that guy, but what's going on here? He has a backpack with a gun. He's got cash. He's got all this stuff on him. What's your read on his behavior of just how quickly he just kind of gave into, you know, the jig is up on who he is?
Well, and I'll say this, judging from not only dealing with people like this in the past, but then on the characteristics we know about Mangione. First of all, this is not a hardened criminal. This is his first rodeo. Right. This is somebody who knows he's got the ghost gun in his bag. He's got his manifesto, if we even want to call it that, in his bag. We've got bullets. We've got everything needed to show that he's guilty. 7,000 on his person. And I think he's like, you're right. You got me. I mean, he's not stupid. There was nothing he could say to get out of it at that point, and he knew that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still kind of surprised by it. Are you surprised he didn't give any sort of pushback, though? That he just, it just seemed very transactional for something like this, for someone who's fleeing, that they're just like, yep, you guys want to, you want to McDouble before we head out of here?
You know what? When I look at him, though, he looks ragged and worn down. I was trying to think, how much sleep did he get? Remember, this all started so many days in advance of this. He's not in his normal environment. He's living in a hostel. He's hunting down a guy, you know, conducting surveillance. And then afterwards, he's on the run. He's getting probably very little sleep, very little to eat. He looks horrible when he's arrested, quite frankly. Gaunt. They said he was shaking. I think he mentally and physically was pretty much at the brink. I'll also say this, for those of you who might not have noticed, take a look at his photo when he's, and I pointed this out, take a look at this photo when he's first arrested in there. He wet himself.
What?
I'll tell you what. Yep, take a look at it. And I'll tell you what, that doesn't surprise me at all. I can't tell you how many people I've arrested that wet themselves right when you arrest them, because it's like this fight or flight and they're so terrified and they wet themselves. It happens all the time. It's not unusual. And it's one of the first thing I looked at. When you look in the room where he's being kept, you'll see the wet stain all around that area. And I'm telling you, it's not unusual. It's not unusual with people who fight too. Yep. That's the one I'm talking about. Take a look.
Oh my God.
I'm no way.
Yes way. And it's not unusual. I know you guys are like, oh no, but this is not unusual. It was one of the first thing I looked for. Let's see. Did he wet himself? He's a new criminal. He's an Ivy Leaguer. He's never been in jail before. His whole life is crashing down before him. He's exhausted. I bet you he wet himself. And sure enough, I looked and I'm like, yeah, he sure did.
Is that usually, is that a pretty sure sign that you got the right guy if they wet themselves?
Well,
does that happen with folks who are not the right guy, where later it turns out this isn't the right guy? They're just really nervous and scared and they wet, or does it tend to be more of a sign of, yeah, that's the guy?
Tony, I've never not arrested the right guy. So I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay. Yeah.
I can tell you that so many people you arrest wet themselves. Not usual. It happens.
Yeah, it happens.
I was trying to think of all the first arrest I ever made. It was a female. She wet herself. I can think there's too many to count, but just let's say 10% or more wet themselves.
I've really learned something today. I had no idea that that even was a thing. I mean,
there's her headline, Luigi Mangione wet himself.
Yeah.
That's her title.
I pointed it out when he first, literally the day I saw that photo. So
yeah.
The day that came out, I was like, yep, he wet himself.
Wow. I'm just kind of, I don't know. I'm kind of taken aback by that. I can't say I've ever wet myself in any shocking, scary, stressful situation that I've been in. Never been like on the run after murdering someone. Yeah. It seems like that's a choice. I don't know. I've never been in a situation where I'm like, I just can't control this.
Well,
I look forward to being 80 and maybe having that experience at some point. But I just, at 20 something, to not be able to control that really.
He probably didn't even know what happened till after it happened. It's a complete fear, involuntary response, fight or flight response. Yeah. And Tony and Stacey and Todd, you've never been likely fighting for your life, seeing the life flash before you, thinking you're going to go to prison or get the death penalty. It was a, come to Jesus moment for him.
Wow.
I did it when I was in kindergarten, but that was because we were learning how to distinguish coins, and that was scary to me. So I think Jennifer's right. In a bad situation, you just let it fly.
So now if you saw like a penny, because you're like, no more pennies.
He's triggered.
Todd's just like, oh God, fuck, I got to change my pants.
Yeah. It's all fascinating, too. You just want to get him out of those clothes. You're having to handle them. You have to frisk them. You got to put your hands in their pockets. It's just a mess. It's just gross.
Yeah.
A lot of gloves.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Brewski. Here now, Tony Brewski.
He wanted a case that hits every nerve in America at once: corporate power, political violence, mental health, policing, civil liberties, and the death penalty. You've landed right here, exactly where we are today. The state and the federal cases against 27-year-old Luigi Mangione, the man accused of assassinating United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson on a Manhattan sidewalk. I'll start with a basic scene here because it matters. It's December 4th. Of 2024. Brian Thompson, the CEO of United Healthcare, is walking down a midtown Manhattan sidewalk on his way to a hotel for his company's annual investor conference. This is the kind of world where people talk about earnings, margins, shareholder value, not street violence. And then a masked gunman comes up from behind him, shoots him, and walks off. No argument, no warning, no robbery, just a public execution in the middle of Manhattan, captured on surveillance video. 5 days later, police walk into a McDonald's in Altoona, Pennsylvania, about 230 miles away, and approach a man eating breakfast alone. He's wearing a beanie and a medical mask, and according to prosecutors, that man is Luigi Mangione. They've had his image out of the news now for quite some time, up until the arrest on social media, tied to the surveillance stills from the shooting. Customers of the McDonald's think he looks a lot like the guy they've seen on TV. A manager calls 911. Police surround him and they start asking questions. 30 plus minutes later, he's in handcuffs. His backpack is in their hands, and the whole thing turns from mystery shooter to constitutional cage match, basically. Because here's where the case is right now. This is not just about what allegedly happened. It's about whether the prosecution gets to use some of the most explosive pieces of evidence they say they found that day at the McDonald's. In that backpack, police say they found a 9mm handgun and a notebook, not just any notebook. Prosecutors say it contained writings where Mangione talks about wanting to whack a health insurance executive, praises the Unabomber, rails against what he calls the deadly greed-fueled health insurance cartel, and suggests that killing an industry executive conveys a greedy bastard that had it coming. They also say the ammunition in that bag had words like delay, deny, and depose written on it, mirroring language used to describe how insurers allegedly avoid paying claims. So from the state's perspective, this is not a random street crime. This is a targeted ideological hit, a politically favored killing of a CEO tied to anti-health insurance rage and carefully written out in advance. From the defense perspective, though, the question right now isn't, what do those writings say? It's, does the jury ever get to see them at all? Mangione's lawyers are in court trying to slam the door on the backpack, the gun, and the notebook, and the statements he allegedly made around the time of his arrest. They're arguing that police crossed constitutional lines. We'll say they searched his bag without a warrant, that they questioned him without Miranda, and that anything that followed and flowed from that is contaminated. Again, that is why good policing matters. That's why good training matters. That's why everyone has to do their job right, because pieces of shit like him and his attorneys will try and find any little thing they can, any little way where the rules followed precisely, exactly. If they weren't, then everything's, none of this could have happened because someone, they didn't say the right words at the right time. So that means all this stuff, this evidence of you murdering him is just gone. Poof. That's the way some of the defense attorneys would like to have it. And that's the way it actually does work sometimes too, like it or not. That's why this multi-day evidentiary hearing that you're hearing about is big news. It's not the actual murder trial. It's the knife fight before the actual showdown, where each side is trying to decide what weapons they're even allowed to bring into the arena or talk about figuratively. On one of the courtroom monitors, jurors don't exist yet, but the judge does. So we've got surveillance video of the shooting, surveillance video of the McDonald's body cam video from officers, a 911 call from the manager who says, I've got a guy in my restaurant who looks like the suspect from the news. We've got testimony from correctional officers in Pennsylvania about what Mangione allegedly said in custody. And over at the defense table, you've got an Ivy League educated defendant from a wealthy Maryland family sitting there in a gray suit gripping a pen while lawyers argue over every second of his encounter with police. Let's talk about the legal stakes here, because they are massive. On the state side, this case started out with murder and terrorism charges. New York prosecutors originally framed this as murder, as this murder as being an act of terrorism, including that the killing of a healthcare executive to send a political message fits that box. A judge has since thrown those state terrorism counts out. A big win for the defense, but second-degree murder and related charges remain. That still means Mangione faces 25 to life if convicted in state court, but that's only half the board. On the federal side, he's still charged with terrorism-related murder, and the U.S. Justice Department, under Attorney General Pam Bondi, is actively seeking the death penalty. The feds have laid out their theory that this was political violence aimed at intimidating or retaliating against a segment of the population, that there was significant planning, stalking, rioting, and that doing it on a busy Manhattan sidewalk put other people at risk of being killed as well. So whatever happens in this state evidence hearing isn't just about one trial. It could ripple into the federal case, too. If the judge decides the backpack search was unconstitutional and the gun and the notebook are out of the state case, you better believe the federal defense team is going to argue that taints their case as well, or at least should. Now, zoom in on what the defense is actually saying here. They're not just nitpicking technicalities. They're saying, look, the cops walk into McDonald's based on a publicly circulated image and nervous customers. They start watching this guy approaching, questioning, and eventually seizing his bag. They call it a safety check, making sure there's not a bomb in the backpack. And the defense says that's pretext. They say this wasn't about safety. It was about evidence. They argue that the real goal is to gather evidence against a specific suspect. You need a warrant or a very clear, well-documented exception to the warrant requirement, and they say neither was there. Just a bunch of old people in a McDonald's going, I see that guy on the TV over there, and he seems to be sitting right there. And, oh, look, it's him. The defense is saying, so what? Doesn't matter what's in his bag.
got to prove it. Well, they did, but you didn't follow the rules proving it. Yeah. They're also going after his statements. At one point, according to prosecutors, he gives the name Mark Rosario, the name they say he used when checking into a Manhattan hotel before the killing. His lawyers are saying, hold on. When exactly did you read him his rights? When did you move from casual encounter at McDonald's to you're effectively under arrest and being interrogated? If officers cross that line before Mirandizing him, the defense wants anything he said in that window thrown out. And there's what happened after the arrest. Before he was flown to New York, Mangione was held at a Pennsylvania state prison in a special housing unit, alone, under constant watch. Why? According to testimony, prison officials didn't want an Epstein-style situation. In other words, they were terrified that this very high-profile detainee might end up dead in custody, and they didn't want to be the next scandal. So they put him in isolation, far from other inmates, on near constant observation. Correctional officers say Mangione talked to them about his travels in Asia, about gang violence in Thailand, about private versus nationalized health care. One officer says Mangione asked whether the media was more focused on him or the crime, like a narcissist does. Another says Mangione volunteered that he had a backpack with foreign currency and a 3D printed pistol at the time of his arrest. The defense is basically screaming, why would he just blurt that out? And if he did, were you questioning him? Were you trying to get him to talk without a lawyer? Where is the line between casual conversation and custodial interrogation? Well, it's a line that's called narcissism, and your client tends to have it. And when there's an audience and he thinks people are going to hear his beautiful voice say something, he's going to speak. And it looks like he did. If the judge decides those conversations were effectively interrogations without proper protections, those statements could be out too. See? This stuff matters. This is why training matters. This is why having people do their jobs responsibly matters. Because you don't want these issues. And let me remind you of this here, though, too. They may have crossed their T's and dotted all of their I's. The defense is still going to go after all of those things and say, well, that T's not quite crossed enough. Like, that's clearly a T. One more millimeter longer on the line, and then it's a T. Yeah, we'll take that up with the judge, buddy. These are all things they're going to argue, especially when you don't have anything to argue. When you have the guy who's literally pretty much in more or less bragging about being the guy that did this. And then saying, I'm not guilty of the crime, you kind of put yourself into a box. And at the end of the day, Luigi Mangione's not a bright kid. He just thinks he is. He likes to play one on TV. But when it comes down to it, an ideological, mentally ill young man who thought that killing a father was going to make an effective point and change the healthcare system. Now, it's not an argument of the healthcare system. It's about right and wrong. And what he did was clearly wrong. Layered on top of all this is something that doesn't sound sexy, but is absolutely crucial. Access to evidence. Months ago, a judge agreed Mangione could have a secure laptop in jail to review the mountain of digital discovery in his case. Surveillance videos, forensic reports, documents, his own writings. And as of mid-November, he still hasn't gotten that laptop. His lawyers are complaining that he's being asked to fight for his life, potentially against the death penalty, without being given the basic tools to even see the evidence against him in any meaningful way. Oh, God, what did they do before laptops? Then hovering in the background like a political storm cloud are Pam Bondi's public comments. The attorney general has gone out in front of cameras and essentially said, yes, we're seeking the death penalty and this guy deserves it, long before any jury verdict. The defense has seized on that and said, how can we possibly have a fair federal trial or a neutral death penalty decision when the top federal law enforcement official is already out there campaigning for his execution? Oh, it's no different than many other cases where they do the exact same thing. Federal prosecutors are now asking the judge to ignore those comments and let the federal case proceed, insisting that the process is still fair and that Bondi's statements don't taint the legal machinery. Again, all of this matters. The optics matter. Is it important for her to come out and say something like that? I don't know. But if it's going to clog up the machine in some way, shape, or form, I don't know. Let's err on the side of let's get this guy prosecuted. And if death is the goal, well, then let's get the path of least resistance to it and not keep finding ways of destroying our path there. So we've got this strange mix. On one side, a case that looks on paper devastating for the defense, a CEO shot from behind, video evidence, a suspect found days later with a gun and a notebook allegedly spelling out the ideology and the plan, plus ammunition literally scribbled with signals and slogans aimed at the insurance industry. On the other side, a defense team that has already knocked out state terrorism charges and is now aiming straight at the foundation, the search, the statements, and the logistics of how his investigation was handled. And in the middle of all this, you have a man sitting in court in a gray suit, calmly taking notes while some of his supporters in the gallery wear shirts that say things like, without a warrant, it's not a search, it's a violation, or clutch Luigi dolls like the whole thing is part of a legal cartoon, part of a political cause, part internet fandom, part mental illness on the part of anybody that's looking at Luigi as a folk hero. Here's why this hearing matters far beyond Luigi Mangione. If the judge allows the gun and the notebook in, the state's narrative looks incredibly strong. Ideological writings, matching weapon, ammo with messages, a tight timeline from New York to Pennsylvania. He's on fucking camera. And the state trial, whenever it's finally scheduled, becomes a question of can the defense poke enough holes in identification, mental state, and causation to create reasonable doubt in the face of all of that. If the judge throws the gun and the notebook out, suddenly the case looks very different. You still have a surveillance footage of the shooting, which is important. You still have Mangione's arrest. You still have travel patterns and whatever digital footprint investigators have built. But the punch, the this is what he wrote, this is what he carried, this is what he literally wrote on the bullets punch, gets a lot softer. And the federal government, still chasing a death sentence, has to either find a way around that ruling or convince the court that its case is somehow insulated from whatever the state judge decides. And beyond the courtroom tactics, the case is a cultural test. If you hate big insurers, you'll see the narrative some of Mangione's online supporters are trying to sell, that this is some kind of twisted resistance act against greedy cartels. And he was targeting a system that, in their view, harms people. If you're worried about political violence creeping into American life, you look at this and think, we're now at the point where CEOs are getting gunned down on sidewalks over public policy grievances. If you're focused on civil liberties, you're looking hard at the backpack search, the prison conversations, and the laptop delay and asking, do we actually care about due process when the alleged crime is politically charged and the victim is powerful? And the truth is, all these threads are running at once. You can believe that America's healthcare system is broken. It is. And exploitative. And still believe that stalking and executing a CEO in public is evil. You can think the evidence against Mangione looks damning and still believe the police have to follow the Constitution. You can think the death penalty is wrong, period, and still think the government will try to use this case as a showpiece for how tough it's willing to be. Right now, what's happening in the Manhattan courtroom isn't about solving those moral questions. It's about rules. Did the police follow them? Did they bend them? Did they break them? And if they did, is the remedy to exclude some of the most important evidence in a case that has the entire corporate and legal world watching? Because the stakes here aren't small. On the table is life in prison in New York State. On the table is the federal government killing a U.S. citizen after labeling this an act of terrorism. On the table is what message gets sent to CEOs, to activists, to law enforcement about what happens when political rage crosses over into bullets. So as we watch this hearing roll on with the surveillance clips, the 911 calls, the prison officers testifying, the arguments over what was said, when, and under what circumstances, remember this. We're still at the stage of deciding what the jury will be allowed to know. The public narrative is still being edited in real time by a judge in a wood-paneled room. And when this finally goes to trial, state or federal, you're going to hear a story about an allegedly obsessed young man, about a powerful CEO, about rage at an entire industry, and about a shooting that took less than a minute, but could define how we think about political violence and corporate power for years. But before we ever get to that jury, we're watching something just as important play out. Whether the system that loves to say no one is above the law actually applies the same standard to itself. Because if the state wants to show a jury a backpack full of guns or a gun, foreign currency, and a notebook fantasizing about killing executives, it has to prove it got there the right way. And that right now is the story. Your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube. It's a lot of people fired up, this story. I get it. I've had my own horrible fights with insurance companies. And there's nothing more angering and ignorant than someone saying, oh, it seems to be working just fine for me. It works great. Really, what sort of medical issues have you ever had or dealt with in your family that you've dealt with the medical and the insurance system? Well, I had a pinky surgery. That's great. Pre-planned? Yeah, okay. It went great. Oh, great. Oh, nobody else's problem. Really? What about all these people over here? Well, it wasn't me. I hear that one a lot. I don't know about you. It took years to work out in my own personal life medical bills several different times on several different occasions. For myself, for at the time, my wife, when we had our daughter, if you've ever dealt with it, an insane cacophony of bills that come your way. Some you pay now, some you don't, some you wait to get processed, some get processed, some don't get processed. Some are from this, are covered at this level, some are covered at that level. Well, this level has to be met before you get to that level. I mean, it's a hellish system. And then you're relying it to be accurate and right. And when you finally do catch something that's wrong and point it out, oh, yeah, okay, well, I guess we'll get that fixed. Maybe. We're going to send it to the board to make sure that gets fixed. Did they do that? Oh, no, thanks for the remark. It's insane. It's insane. And I understand people's frustrations, especially when it comes down to having no money. And they're trying to siphon every last dime out of you for shit they should already be covering. But at the end of the day, how do we fix that? It's not about going out into the streets and blowing a CEO's head off. Start voting for people that actually are going to fix this, not just the ones that like to blow smoke up your ass and make you think they will. Follow the money. Follow who's funding what. Base that on who you get behind when you get into a ballot box. And don't base it on a fucking TikTok. You want real change? Research. Research. Show up and make your vote count. You want change? That's how it's done. It ain't this. This leads nowhere. This leads to just more arguments, more hate, more frustration, and more of nothing truly getting done. And the people that actually do have the power to make change, well, they get a pass because we're arguing about this dope and not those dopes that refuse to do anything in the interest of their constituents that put them there in the first place. So truly decide who you want to be angry at. And sometimes it might be ourselves for putting the wrong people in power that don't do what they say they're going to, or that we don't demand better of them. Give me your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube. I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.